All right, welcome everybody to this edition of O365A. Today we're going to be talking Team Certified Devices with Ariel Pozlowski. He's a pre-sales engineer from Algo Solutions. Welcome, Ariel.
Curtis, thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, excited to have you. Why don't we just kick things off with, why don't you give us a little intro about your role in Algo Solutions?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a pre-sales engineer at Algo. I've been with the company for just under 6 years now, actually. I used to be a support engineer, now I'm a pre-sales engineer. I also oversee the customer support team, both pre and post-sales. Pretty technical, so my background is really computer science. I've always been in IT, heavily focused on networking. Algo is a perfect fit. We obviously are a Canadian-based company. We've been around for over 50 years. We've always been in the telephony space. We used to manufacture analog telephony solutions back in the day. We were OEM manufacturers for Nortel as well back in the day. Over the last 10 years or so, we transitioned the business primarily to voice over IP endpoints. So we manufacture SIP compliant IP speakers, IP intercoms, paging adapters, visual alerters. So they're mostly geared towards public announcing, emergency alerting, and so on.
Very good. Well, I'll turn over to Habib. I think he had some more in-depth questions about the products.
Yeah, I think, thanks, Ariel. Thanks for coming on. I know that, you have a good group of products, across the board. Obviously, you said they're SIP certified. So, obviously you're certified across multi-platforms. We're mainly focused, ourselves on the Microsoft space. Maybe you could maybe share some different scenarios that your customers use, these particular products, that are certified.
Absolutely. Taking a step back, talking about Microsoft Teams first, very recent and great news, obviously. We are the first IP paging endpoints outside of actual phones, but speakers, intercoms, and so on, to be natively compatible with Microsoft Teams SIP gateway. Still currently in public preview, but available for anyone out there that wants to try it, right? So basically, our devices can now integrate to Microsoft Teams as just like any other phone would. They would take up a user, so it could be a full user within Microsoft Teams, a regular, just a whatever user account you would assign to a regular person, or more commonly, it's going to have a shared device license. It just makes more sense for this kind of, for IP speakers, intercoms, and so on. It's more logical. But basically, they will integrate you. It's all about creating the profile on the Teams Admin Center, right? So set up that account, make it a shared device license, give it a name, and so on. Assign a DID to that user. The user does have to have a publicly routable number. From that point on, if the Teams gateway is enabled for the organization in the calling space, it's just about going through the registration process, which is quite simple. It takes about 10 minutes or so. The device is up and running. And from that point on, it's addressable within Microsoft Teams. Like I mentioned, it will have a publicly routable number, regular 10-digit number. It will also obviously be an extension and a user within Microsoft Teams. So for internal calling, I want to look up that user on my Microsoft Teams client on my PC, on my mobile phone, all good, right? It will come up just like anyone else would come up. So pretty straightforward. Once the devices are registered, like I said, they can be set up in a ton of different ways. Primarily, they're going to be used for public announcing, right? So think of a factory floor. I need to get my staff attention, broadcast whichever message. Think of a school. Think of a hospital where you need to do PA announcements, that sort of thing. And obviously a lot more going towards emergency alerting as well. So you can have your fire alarms, your tornadoes, your your code blue, code orange, right? Whatever that is. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, for sure. So just want to just touch a little bit back around just sort of setup perspective. So you need to have obviously a Teams license, whether it's a user or a shared device. And then you can obviously assign any type of dial tone, right? So whether it be calling plan, operator connect, or direct routing. So as yes. long as you, yeah, perfect. Absolutely. I just wanted to clarify that, you know, for the listeners as well. Yeah, and I'll pass it over to Michael.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to have is that, you know, prior to this being certified, you know, the only way to really hang paging endpoints off of Teams was either through a session board controller and direct routing. So the fact that you can register these as basically handsets or peripherals tied to a Teams regular user without having to have a session board controller in the mix, and it works across all the PSTN options, that's pretty great. I've had the pleasure of playing with a few different units. So I have like the paging endpoint as well as one of the alerters. So I did trigger, you know, if I call it, you know, it'll start flashing and stuff like that. I'm not sure how well it shows in the cameras. But just some technical questions. So you have a lot of SIP devices. It seems like all the devices that are maybe running the same kind of firmware were certified. Is there a difference of what devices were certified versus what devices haven't been certified for Teams?
Good question. The majority of our product line has been certified. The firmware isn't quite the same, but it is very similar across the devices, right? Across most of them, at least. So it's just easier, I guess, to talk about the ones that were not certified because there are only two devices. So we basically have a few verticals of products, right? So we have IP speakers, we have IP paging adapters, visual alerters, which is the one that you were just showing, / display speakers, and last but not least, IP intercoms. Within our IP intercoms, we have two audio-only intercoms, and then we have two audio and video intercoms. The two models that support video are not currently certified, but the audio-only models are, right?
And the video intercoms, would that get certified for the audio only, or is there any plans to get that working with Teams?
We are looking into it. We do plan on releasing an upcoming firmware patch to address this for those devices, well, at least for one of them. Video is a little more tricky, but at least for audio, we do plan on making them compatible as well. But for now, they are the only exceptions. The part numbers, to be specific, are 8036 and 8039. Everything but these two are compatible with Microsoft Teams SIP Gateway.
And I think I happen to have the 8190. I think that's...
I think the strobe light that you had is that the multicolor or the single color model?
That's the multicolor one.
Multi, so 8138.
Yeah, I have the little video intercom as well. I don't have the model on me, so I think that's probably the ones that
you're talking about. The one of the screen on?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the 8036.
Yeah. Okay, and that's the one that there'll be a patch maybe in the future to...
Yeah. The 8036, to be honest, is a little bit more challenging. We're looking into it. The 8039, it's a video intercom without a screen on. It's kind of narrow and tall. That one will have a patch sooner.
Okay. And then just from a feature set, so you mentioned that your devices are, you know, kind of SIP certified, so they get, you know, the ability to use them across platforms. So when we talk about Teams and how they're registering to the Teams SIP Gateway, I've noticed that, you know, they register like as a paging endpoint instead of a ringing endpoint. Is there any plans to kind of support some of those advanced features that you have on your devices, like DTMF to trigger specific announcements or any other advanced features that maybe are restricted out of the gate?
Absolutely. So you are correct. As of now, if you were to go and register an Algo device to Microsoft Teams, whichever device it is, it's going to register as a paging device, right? From the Microsoft perspective, it's really invisible whether it's a paging device, a ringing device, an alerting device. But from our side, it depends where the SIP credentials are allocated within the web interface, right? So yes, there are plans to answer your question. Right now the process is pretty, it's mostly automated, right? So it, the device pulls up a provisioning template off Microsoft server. So it requires a little bit of work between the two of us, Algo and Microsoft, but we do plan on making it happen. Nowadays, let's say if you were to try and register an Algo device for alerting instead of paging on Microsoft Teams, are you able to? Yes, you are. It requires a little bit of manual intervention, but we are more than happy to go through that with our customers and explain how it's done. So our support team is trained on this. Anyone that reaches out and has a question, I'm trying to set up my 8180 IP audio alerter for loud ringing instead of paging Microsoft Teams. They will walk you through, right? So like I said, a little bit of manual intervention, but completely doable. DTMF that you brought up, perhaps for multi-zone selection, that's doable as well. Fairly simple.
And then I've seen some ways of like copying the credentials that Microsoft pushes to the device and changing the config. Does Microsoft cycle that password periodically, and there's a risk of maybe it not deregistering or anything like that? I'm not familiar on that side.
They shouldn't cycle the password as far as I know. But it's the downside is that if you were to do this kind of thing, you have to turn off provisioning, right? When you turn off provisioning, if you go into Teams Admin Center, you're able to see when the Teams device online or offline. You're also able to remotely reboot it. You lose that reboot capability, right? So obviously not ideal. It is a workaround, to be completely clear. A more definitive solution will come up in the near future. This is still in public preview, so it is kind of the low hanging fruit there. But we do want to make it happen, absolutely.
Ariel, maybe just for the benefit of our listeners, talk about the difference between a paging and versus a ringing device.
Absolutely. Good point. Great question. So we have three types of extensions that can be registered on our devices, and primarily focusing on IP speakers, paging adapters, visual alerters work a little bit differently, but three types of extensions. Number one, paging. Paging by nature auto answers and opens up a voice path. There are always different options within for delayed announcements, passcode, and whatnot. But in default settings, that's it, right? You go to a grocery store, someone is paging overhead. Hey, I need the assistance at aisle 10. That's paging, right? It's a live announcement. Ringing is generally used in a, think of a factory floor, a noisy place. Staff cannot hear the phone. You can actually put a speaker that will ring along with the phone, but it will ring just, you know, 15, 20 times as loud. So it's just a lot easier to get their attention. That's also one possible application for visual alerters. Instead of doing, you know, a loud ringtone, you can actually just flash a light on incoming calls. So that's ringing there after hours, you know, your night bell ringer, that sort of thing. Ringing does not answer the call, right? So there is a few ways of setting it up. It can be a ring group where you put the extension of that Algo speaker, let's say that ring extension, and then also the target phone. So when that group rings, the phone will ring normally as it always does. We will also ring, but the difference is we'll never answer, right? So either someone will pick up that phone and answer the call, or it's going to go to voicemail. But we'll basically ring or flash a light or both until the call is answered. Last but not least, emergency alerting, very similar to ringing. It also relies on pre-recorded announcements, which, by the way, are customizable, right? So the devices have internal memory, custom WAV or MP3 format files can be uploaded very easily to customize the announcements. But basically, emergency alerting plays that pre-recorded announcement of your choice. You can have multiple, like I said before, you can have your lockdown, your tornado, your fire, right? Or what, any other example, really, for that matter. And the difference is that this will generally play over and over until it's canceled or until it times out. there's a number of options within, but that's the main difference between ringing and emergency alerting. One will just play while the call is really ringing. The other one will play indefinitely or until it's canceled or until it times out.
Gotcha. No, that's helpful. I mean, I think most of us are used to seeing paging where you literally, to put this in a Teams perspective, the algo device would show up as a user with presence, and you would just click the device, and in ringing mode, or sorry, in paging mode, it would literally go hot the second you called. It would answer, and you're live on
it. Exactly. Yeah. Again, in default settings, there is always different options within. But yes, you are correct.
So that's good. That's a good important distinction. So I think that, I mean, at least from my perspective, maybe Michael is seeing this too, like a lot of my customers are asking about paging, but more from, and I know you support obviously the IP visual alerters and the IP-based devices, intercoms, but what's intriguing to me is the IP paging adapters. And I think that's going to be probably the biggest run. There it is. There's one there. Because they've got all these like AV equipment, PAs with the speakers. So they don't want to necessarily rip all that out. They work fine. They just need to hook into it somehow and make it Teams, it available for Teams. So I noticed, I mean, and this is where I'm your expertise. I noticed you have both the 8301 and IP and the 8301 IC. I think those are the two currently certified adapters, or is that just one of them perhaps? And maybe just talk a little bit about that. And a second part to that is what InformaCast is. I think it has something to do with learning, but.
Absolutely. Good questions. So we have two paging adapters in our product line today. The 8301, which is by far the most common one out there. It's just more flexible. It offers more features. And then we have the 8273, which is not a worse product in any way. It's a very specific product for a very specific type of application. So you won't see nearly as many of them out there compared to an 8301. Before I differentiate the two of them, maybe I'll just talk about InformaCast and the IC you mentioned. So for most of our part numbers, you see there is a regular option. So 8301, for instance, there's the regular 8301, and then there's the 8301-IC. That stands for InformaCast. InformaCast is a software by a company called SingleWire for mass alerting, right? It is really a software that is generally used in large environments. Think of a university campus, right? You need to do mass alerting there, integrate to 911 services, email, SMS, that sort of thing. That's where they come in, right? And we are partners with them. So they don't have the hardware, they have the software. Our hardware can integrate into their solution. So that's InformaCast for you. Now, talking about the 8301 and the 8373, again, very similar devices. If anyone looks them up or have them side by side, they literally look exactly the same. The terminals on them are different, but the housing itself is the same. Even though they might look similar, they are completely different internally. Maybe I'll explain the 8373 first, because like I said, that's a very specific type of device. The 8373 is designed to integrate to a legacy amplifier like the 8301 is, but it actually lets you zone out a standard amplifier, right? So it loops the power out of the amplifier straight back into the 8373. And then where you normally have your 70-volt speakers connected in the back of the amp, you're going to move them towards the back of the 8373. So the amplifier is required for power, really. So we use that to loop the power straight back into the 8273, and then you have channel 1, 2, and 3, and that's where the speaker runs are going to be connected. So it lets you do two things. One, integrate your legacy paging infrastructure, of course, to Microsoft Teams, for instance. And it also lets you do zoning, right? So it lets you create up to three channels, where you normally only had one channel.
A kitchen, sales floor, maybe the warehouse.
Well, warehouses would be common, where they have, let's say, I have a warehouse with 30 speakers. I'm thinking of subdividing my warehouse into two or three different zones.
Right.
can I do this? Yes, you can. The 8373 fits the view perfectly. Now, on the other hand, if the application was just, I have this legacy page infrastructure, it's a standard analog amplifier and analog speakers, am I able to integrate that to my Microsoft Teams environment? Yes, you are. Do you need to split them into different zones? No, not. I don't really. In that case, the 8301 fits the bill perfectly. The 8301 is so common out there because it is really kind of a jack of all trades, right? It fits great for those analog integrations to an amplifier or sometimes even to an analog zone controller, where it just needs DTMF zone selection. But also it's great for standard IP deployments, right? Where perhaps you only have IP speakers, IP visual alerters. The 8301 still fits the bill, right? The 8301 offers a couple unique features. It has the scheduler built in. So think of a school, you will need to automate your announcements throughout the day, your bells between classes, or every morning at 8 a.m., I need to play the anthem, Pledge of Allegiance, whatever that is. You can automate all those events, right? So every Monday at 8 a.m., every other Monday, you can set it up in any way. The 8301 also lets you connect a music source into it for just music streaming over the speaker. So think of your phone running your whichever app you prefer for music streaming, connect that back onto the 8301, multicast that to your IP speakers, right?
No, that's great. I appreciate the breakdown there. I think the listeners will as well.
Yeah, and on that note, I mean, this really interesting conversation about a whole variety of IP devices I've never used personally with customers. What would you say, Ariel, is top three scenarios in terms of vertical and situations where these products are used?
Good question. I'll be honest, it's hard to say top three because literally we have applications in every possible vertical you can think of. So I'll give you a few examples, but they're not in any way exclusive of other environments, other verticals, right? But a few big ones, education is a huge one, right? So schools, especially with, you know, recent events, security is top of mind. So having a system that is reliable, that will be available out there in any, you know, in any situation, whether it's for just day-to-day announcements, whether it's for emergency alerting, is huge. So education is a big industry. Manufacturing / warehousing is a big one too. Think of, you know, your 600,000 square feet warehouse, massive. Like, you need to be able to find people in the floor, right? You also need to be able to notify them of possible emergencies, fire, whatever that is, or just really, hey, Bob, I need you upstairs, right? Whatever it is. And then the third one, I would say healthcare is a big one too. Hospitals also very much rely on paging and alerting systems. But all the other industries are growing as well. Along transportation is another one. Think of an airport. Which airport doesn't need paging, right?
All airport paging is the challenge to understand. They're all muffled, yeah. So hopefully your solutions are better.
That's because they're not using Algo speakers.
All right. Well, yeah, I was just looking at the verticals on your website. There's quite a few, and with your product lineup, I can see how the scenarios are pretty wide set of scenarios that they're applicable to, for sure.
They are, absolutely. Very flexible devices, like I mentioned. They really can be set up in a ton of different ways. That's also why we offer our pre-sales team to assist, and I'm part of that team to assist in, you know, let's hear what you need, let's come up with a solution for you, because really there are a lot of different ways to use the devices. Yep. I would just take a step back also. You brought up paging quality. That's huge for us, right? Just making sure the announcements are intelligible. In that topic, our product support narrowband codecs for voice, and they also support wideband codecs. I don't have a slide ready to pull up now, but I can share that later on. If you want to include a link, we could do that. If you were to look at the frequency range of where humans can understand announcements, what you see is if a speaker doesn't support a wideband codec like G722, you're losing on 25% of its speech intelligibility, right? So obviously we support it. It makes a huge difference to make sure the announcements are nice and clear. Obviously, you know, the positioning of speakers, the number of speakers, whether it's appropriate for the environment or not, is also a huge factor. And the reality is that those analog speakers that have been sitting, you know, in the airport or anywhere else, really, for that matter, for 30 years are 30-year-old speakers.
Yeah. Definitely. I'll ask one super quick question, then we'll do a wrap. Whenever you're dealing with devices, of course, you have firmware upgrades. Are most of the Algo devices upgraded through Teams Admin Center, or is there a separate out-of-band process which upgrades the firmware?
Good question, too. As of today, it's completely outside of Microsoft Teams. Also, something that could change down the road, like I said, this is still in public preview phase. So very recent, there's going to be a lot more coming down the road. But as of now, if you were to do firmware upgrades, there's a couple main ways. One would be just manually go to our website, download the firmware, apply it to whatever devices you have. By the way, firmware upgrades are completely free for anyone. It's available on the website. Just go ahead, download it, and apply the firmware. What you can also do is on the device itself, actually, if the device has internet connection, and for devices that are registered to Microsoft Teams, they would have to have internet connection. There is a check firmware button on the interface, actually, so the device just upgrades more easily, but still requires a little bit of manual intervention. The other way would be if you are using one of our management solutions. So we have a couple solutions for larger deployments just to facilitate management, you know, pushing settings, being notified if something ever goes offline for whatever reason. They facilitate firmware upgrades as well. Still, we on purpose don't let it auto upgrade. There are many customers out there that would just prefer to manage the upgrades themselves. It's a little bit differently than, you know, our smartphones that generally make sense for them to auto upgrade, but in our environment, it doesn't really do as much sense. Something else that I've kind of steering the conversation a different way, but just before we wrap up, that I think it's important to mention, we talked about Microsoft Teams, the registration process, how we'd go about assigning a common area license to a particular device and so on. That works great for, you know, I have two speakers in my environment. What if I have 100? Do I need to use up 100 licenses? No, you don't, right? For many reasons, you should never do this. Scalability, obviously it's not cost effective. You're gonna run into issues when paging larger group of devices and so on. So we actually use multicast, which is just a method of carrying data across a local network in one-to-many format instead of one-to-one or one-to-all. And basically, when you set up multicast, you can scale the solution to any number and combination of devices. So you could have your 80 Trail 1, for instance, registered with a page extension to Microsoft Teams, multicasting over to 10, 100, 1,000 IP speakers in your network. So scaling to any number and combination of devices, right? IP speakers of different kinds, visual alerters, even third-party IP devices that support receiving multicast can be included in the mix. And also zoning, right? Up to 50 zones that are supported via multicast. So it could be a standard, you know, one zone, I'm either paging all my speakers or none, or you could break them further down into different zones.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. I could ask a lot more questions, but I think we're coming up on the 30-minute mark. Ariel, thanks so much for being on. It's really interesting to hear about these types of devices because, you know, traditionally we just play in the, you know, speaker headset area. So super interesting and super informative. So thank you very much. And we'll talk to you later.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Take care, guys.